tonight, please. Psalms chapter number 27. Psalms chapter 27. We'll start here. Pray for me. I've got enough electronics on me tonight that if they push the right button, I'd probably go to glory. We're trying out some new mic systems and trying to find out some fallacies in some of them that we've been using. And I appreciate all the work that they're doing trying to do that. Appreciate those folk who have been giving towards our electronic system so we can do a better job with live stream. That's not a little thing, and we don't take those things for granted. Thank you for your help. Whom shall I fear is the title of the message tonight. And I was almost ready to leave the house tonight, and God laid another portion of Scripture on my heart. So we're going to read Psalms 27, and then we're going to go back to the book of Job and look at something else there in a way of an explanation as to where we're going tonight. I trust it's a blessing to you. Psalms chapter 27, beginning of verse number 1, the Bible says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" You'll notice there that there are several uses of the word my. It's personal. It's personal. I'm glad tonight that God is a personal God. He wants to have a personal relationship with us. He wants to personally deal in our lives. He wants to do it in person, not through just somebody else, but God wants to deal with us in person, and I appreciate that. Verse 2, "When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise up against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in a time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me, put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help, leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." And then, if you will, over in the book of Job, chapter number 3. Job, chapter number 3. Job writes this, in beginning in verse number 23, he says, "Why is light given to man whose way is hid, and whom God hath hedged in? For my sign cometh before I eat, and my roarings are poured out like the waters. For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me. I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet, yet trouble came." I call your attention to verse number 25 especially. Job, one of the greatest men that's walked the face of the earth. Now, Job had his problems. And let me share this with you, too. Job at this time says, "That thing which has come upon me, which I greatly feared, has come upon me." But we find that Job went through a real humbling experience, too. And he came out at the other end as a winner. And I believe that there's something about committing our fears to the Lord and letting him know that we know, number one, we have a fear, and number two, that he can take care of it. And when we do that, I think he strengthens us. And God was just speaking to my heart about that as we walked out the door nearly tonight. I looked the verse up after we got to church tonight, and I believe there's something there more than what I've brought out, I'm sure. But somebody said that fear, if you were to write an acronym for fear, that would be forget everything and run. And I think that's the way most people think about it. You know, if we're scared enough, we'll just run from anything. It ought not to be that way. And God would have us to understand that we don't have to be afraid. Now, please understand tonight that because I know some of you have fears, because I know we all have some fears, I'm not making light of your fears. I'm not doubting your Christianity because of your fears. I'm not saying that you're not a worthy Christian if you have fears. I'm just saying we need to learn what to do with our fears so we can serve God in a way that's pleasing to Him and less burdensome to us, actually. And so the Bible says that God has not given us a spirit of fear. So if we have this spirit of fear, and by a spirit of fear, I'm not talking about, you know, you're scared about something, something comes into your life and it shocks you for a little bit. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about this spirit of fear. It's just like who's that little guy, Lioness, isn't it, in the Peanuts cartoons? Always has that cloud over his head. Is that Lioness that has it? Pardon me? Pigpen. Oh, yeah, that'll do it. Pigpen. That'll put you in a pigpen, always having that cloud over your head. And some people are like that with fear. They walk around and they have this spirit of fear all over them. And the Bible tells us in our text, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. And so, you know, the devil would like to ask us, he'd like to push us so far that our fear would cause us to think we're actually losing our mind. But the Bible testifies God hath not given us that spirit. God has given us a sound mind, the Bible says, a power, love, and of a sound mind. So living in a constant fear is not of the Lord. Listen, it's if you could get up in the morning and you're scared of something and you're still afraid of it when you go to bed at night and you wrestle with it through the night and you get up the next day and it's still there, that is not of the Lord. And we need to understand that tonight. Fear is a manipulation tool that is used by the devil. He uses it to cause people to do things that they normally wouldn't do. Fear, the Bible teaches us, has torments, and torment has no peace. You can't be tormented and have peace at the same time. And so God says that fears are not from Him, those kinds of fears. Now, doctors classify fear into 79 different groups, at least. That was the last time I did some research on that. It's been some time ago. 79 different types of fear. One is a fear of tight places. Now, I'm not afraid of tight places because I'm not getting in them if I can help it. I am what they call claustrophobic, and that's why I know the title of that one. I don't like tight places. I don't like to have my arms strapped down. I don't like to be where I can't move. If I can't move, I'm going to get in trouble because I just have this. I don't want to use the word fear, but maybe that's the word I need to use. I have this fear of tight places, so I just try to ask God, by faith, Lord, help me not to have to get into any of those tight places. Heights is another place that some people have fears of. And then some people fear the past. They're afraid something's going to come looming at them out of the past. And some people fear the present. They'd rather be in the past or in the future, either one, than in the present. But then some people fear the future. Some people fear water. I don't, as long as it's only about that deep. I have no fear of water. But if it gets over my head, I could have fear of water. I don't want to be thrown in the ocean. I don't want to be there. Some people fear people. Some people fear animals of different sorts. And some people fear speeds. Some people on the highway, I think, fear speeds because they drive at 35 miles an hour. I don't know what the speed limit says, but we need to understand that's right, too, sometimes. But fear makes people do strange things. People do things they never do before, never have done before, never have done since, because at that moment of time they were afraid. I heard of a man who was driving a hearse, and he stopped and picked up the second hitchhiker. The first one that he'd picked up had asked if he could just sleep on the road. They were going to be on the road for quite a while. He said, could I just sleep? And the man said, yeah, crawl in the back, go to sleep. I don't care. So he crawled to the back, went to sleep, and the man found a second hitchhiker and saw him and picked him up, and they're going down the road and hadn't been going very long. And the guy in the back woke up and said, "Hey, where are we?" And that guy in the front seat had never before jumped out of a moving car. Fear will cause you to do things that normally you wouldn't do. And so we need to understand that tonight. Now, the cause of fear is a lack of control. When I'm in a tight spot, I can't control. I can't control my arms. I can't just make the situation stop or go away. So I lose control, and therefore I begin to have fear of that situation. In the Garden of Eden, God did a wonderful thing for man. God said he was going to have dominion over the earth. Dominion. That means he's in control. But when man loses control, he begins to fear. And when we are in a situation that we have no control over, the natural thing is for us to fear. And so we need to understand that. Now, the Lord is in charge of everything. He is in control of everything. There's nothing that he is not in control of. He tells us not to fear the future. The Lord's already there. You know, no matter how far in the future you go, the Lord Jesus is already there. He said we're not supposed to fear death, because he has that in control too, because he's life. We're not supposed to fear disease, because the Lord is the great physician, able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And of course, we're not to fear life itself, because the Lord knows the end of life from the beginning. Now, we mentioned being in control. You see somebody at a carnival or situation like that, and maybe been to King's Dominion or been to Disney World or to Six Flags over whatever state you happen to be in, one of these big amusement parks, and you see young people on these rides, and they're hooping and hollering and everything, but the thing that they know in the back of their mind is everything's under control. Everything's under control. You let one of those cars run off of that roller coaster off into a lake or off into the brush somewhere, and they've lost control, and they lose their mind. Control has something to do with the lack of fear and the amount of fear that we have. When you go to a bullfight, I wouldn't recommend that. I've been to one. One was sufficient. I used to always think that I would like to go, and I did a number of years ago. My brother and I went to Mexico and spent some time there, and one of the things we did while we were there is we went to a bullfight, and before I was there very long, everyone's cheering for the matador and the picador and all those other doors, and I'm cheering for the bull. People were laughing and everything at me because I was hollering for the bull. And you know, you find that little fella out there in a green suit, and he's a prissy looking little guy, and he's out there waving his cape around and everything. And most people don't know that bull has been wounded, to the fact that he can't hurt the man as much as he could have had he not been wounded like that. And everybody's saying, "Ole! Ole!" Boy, I mean, they'd do something. He'd make a pass by him. "Ole! Ole!" But you take down the fence that's separating between them and the bull, El Burro, El Bull, El Bull, not Burro, El Bull. And it would be a whole different situation. People would panic. People would scatter. I saw one time a film where at a bullfight, a bull had actually jumped over the fence protecting the spectators, got into the audience, and they had lost control. And because they had lost control, they went nuts. They went crazy. People going everywhere. You say, what would you have done? I'd have joined them. I'd have left right with the crowd. Amen. Because things were out of control. Now, fear is a curse. Fear is like living in death. It's like being in prison. It destroys and it defeats and it kills dreams and it brings heartache and it hurts homes and hurts health. It hurts relationships. Even our relationship with the Lord is harmed by fear because he has told us not to do that. Satan controls by fear and controls people with fear. He masquerades under the guise of super cautious. He's super cautious. No, maybe he's just scared to death. Super cautious. And procrastination, tomorrow, tomorrow, mañana, mañana, mañana. Two words make a huge difference. The Lord's word is today. The Lord says now, today. And the devil says, tomorrow, tomorrow. But Proverbs chapter 27, verse 1 says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. How about this? 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 2 says, for he saith, I have heard thee in time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And the devil, if you're saved and you were witnessed to several times before you got saved, how many times did the devil tell you tomorrow? Tomorrow, tomorrow. Do it tomorrow, do it tomorrow. You've been spoken to by God. He wants you to pick up the phone and call someone and talk to them about the Lord. Pick up the phone and call someone and apologize to them about something. Pick up the phone and call someone just to cheer them up. And the devil says, no, tomorrow. And procrastination is the destination that the devil wants us to take so that we'll not do what we're supposed to do today. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse number 13 says, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Hebrews 3 and verse number 15 says, while it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. Psalms 27 verse 3, though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. Confident in knowing that the Lord is in charge of things. Psalms 23 and verse number 4 says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. See, many times a man will be on a journey, going to go do something for God. And on this journey, fear presents itself. And the man turns around and goes back home and never gets on the road to go do what God told him to do again because of a thing called fear. We need to understand that God will give us victory over fear. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 14 says, for as much then as the children are partakers of the flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is even the devil. So God has already promised us he's going to take care of the devil. And the devil and all of his fear producing in one thing or another is on its way out. It's in short supply, and we need to understand that. The most often message of the Lord in the Bible is fear not. And now that may not be the exact words, but God is all the time trying to comfort his people, saying, I'm with thee, fear not. Over and over and over, he gives situations where we don't have to be afraid if we'll just trust in the Lord. To Abraham, he said, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. To Moses, he said, fear not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. To the disciples, he said, fear not, it is I. Over and over and over again, God is expressing to us that we don't have to be afraid. So somebody says, well, what do you do when you're like Job and that which you greatly fear comes upon you? What do you do? Well, we'll look at some of those things. I think how to conquer fear, and we have just a short list of things that I think will take care of a long list of fears if we'll just put them into practice. Number one, admit you have a problem. God is in the business of fixing problems, but he wants us to bring that problem to him. He wants to give us victory over our problems, but he wants us to bring that problem to him. The Bible says, let every man examine himself. It's his own self is actually what it says. A man was speaking to a preacher one time, and he says, I've been going to a doctor for 2 years, paying him $200 an hour, but I'm going to be honest with you. We ought to just be honest with the Lord. Two people that we ought to never, well, we ought not to ever lie to anybody. But even lost people, some lost people know that you can't lie to God. He knows everything. And why would you lie to yourself? Why would you lie to yourself? And yet some people do that over and over again. And so we need to understand that we need to be honest. If we have a fear, we need to tell God, I have this fear. I'm afraid of this. And just tell God what it is and ask God how to take care of it. And I promise you, he'll tell you if you really want to know. If you've made up your mind, I'm tired of this fear being this spirit of fear being over me all the time, And you'll go and talk to God about it. God will tell you how to get rid of that spirit of fear. And listen, it won't be near as hard as carrying that spirit of fear around. Whatever it is God tells you to do won't be nearly as difficult, nearly as hard on you as carrying that stuff around all the time. Faith says, launch out into the deep. Jesus told his disciples, remember that? Launch out into the deep, let down your net for a draught. But fear says, stay on the bank. Safer here. But we only catch little fish here. Jesus said, launch out into the deep. Fear says, no, I'll stay here. I'll catch a half dozen little fish, you catch one big one. Fear says, don't take chances. God says, live by faith. So admit you have a problem. The second thing is, accept your position as a child of the Lord. You know, I don't think that we have all the authority sometimes that Pentecostalism says we have. But I know this, I'm a child of God. I know this, He has a great investment in me. He has invested a lot in me, the life of His Son. He's given to me through people and through churches and through ministries God has given to me. God has a lot of investment in my life. And we have an authority. Jesus said all authority is given to Him in heaven and on earth. All power is given to Him in heaven and on earth. Based on that, we're supposed to go and tell people about Christ. But we need to understand that with that authority and power that Jesus has, He delegates some of that to us. And we're children of God. We're not just ragtag. We're not just muffins being kicked hither and yon, or shouldn't be. We have power with the Lord. Someone says, well, preacher, you don't understand. The devil's been after me all my life. Yeah, a lot of other people too. Most people, especially saved people, he's been after them all of his life, all their life. He doesn't want them to be a success. But if we run around with fear all the time, we don't have enough God showing on us to scare a second-hand devil, much less the real one. I maybe have told this story before, but there was a lady going to Ellicott Baptist Church that was all the time late, all the time late, all the time late. And finally one day the preacher, she'd come dragging her. She had about 10 kids. She'd come dragging them all in, eeny, meeny, miny, mowing, 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 rattling everything and banging everything and diaper bags and sleeping bags or whatever they had with them and come right through the back of the church building and disturb everything. And she'd always say, I'm sorry, preacher. I'm sorry, preacher. The devil made me late. The devil made me late. And so one day the preacher said, listen to me. Do you really think that you're spiritual enough that you're the only one that the devil bothers at 9:30 in the morning on Sundays? She said, well, I don't know what to do about it. He said, well, won't you come on Saturday night and spend the night here? That way you'd be on time one time and you wouldn't be banging everything around. At least you'd be, if you were late, at least you'd be in the basement already. We wouldn't have to be interrupted by you. Listen, there's something we can do. We're God's children. We don't have to just be kicked around by the devil and let him lead us wherever he wants to take us. We're God's people. And then thirdly, I think we need to love the Lord more. We just need to love the Lord more. Listen to this verse. Here's a verse. The verse we use a lot of times is 1 John chapter 4, verse number 19. It says, we love Him because He first loved us. But sometimes it's interesting to take those Bible verses that we have memorized and then go around those verses. Check above them, check below them, see what else it says. Listen to what the verse says just ahead of that. It says, there is no fear in love. Now, the Bible doesn't say that there's scarcely less fear in love. It doesn't say there's a little bit less fear in love. The Bible says there is no fear in love. Listen, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love Him because He first loved us. And how many times I've thought in my mind and my heart that to love Him more, I just need to really feast on how much He loves me. And the more I see that He loves me, the more I love Him. And the more I love Him, the more perfect my love becomes. And the more perfect my love becomes, the less I fear. Perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment, and there is no fear in love. But perfect fear casteth out love, or casteth out fear. So let me ask you this question. What is it that the Lord wants you to do? What is it? Now, if you're saved, you're a child of God, the Holy Ghost of God lives in your heart, there's something that God wants you to do. That's something that God wants you to do, I have no idea what it would be. But it's something that's exciting. Not only is it exciting, but it's satisfying. It's something that will make you eager to get up and get started at it in the morning, and it'll make you hesitant to put it down at night. It's something that will feed your soul. It's something that can is addictive. It's something. It's like those people in the house of Stephanus who had addicted themselves to the ministry. It's something that's exciting and it's wonderful and it's yours if you just claim it. What is it God wants you to do? You say, well, I don't have any idea. Well, ask him. As a child growing up, didn't you say to your mama or to your daddy, Mama, Daddy, what do you want me to do? Remember the Apostle Paul? He started a pretty great ministry by asking that question. Lord, what would you have me to do? And his life was claimed for the Lord Jesus and tremendously used for him. And so ask God what it is he wants you to do. And I'll ask you, what is it that the Lord wants you to do? Now let me ask you this question. What excuse are you using for not obeying what the Lord wants you to do? You know, somebody says, well, it's my age. Then God didn't ask you to do it. Well, it's where I live. Well, either God wants you to leave or to move, or God didn't ask you to do that. Because here's the truth. You cannot be kept from doing anything that the Lord asks you to do without giving permission to be kept from it. You have to say, okay, when somebody says you can't do what God told you to do, you say, okay, then you can't do it. But if God tells you to do something, you can do it. God wouldn't waste his time or your time by telling you to do something that he wouldn't enable you to do. Somebody said, well, preacher, it's impossible for me to do what God told me to do. Then God didn't tell you to do it. If it's really impossible, God didn't tell you to do it. Now, it might take faith. Well, where do we get that faith? Same place we get the lack of fear. We study the Word of God. And so the Bible testifies that we can do anything that God has told us to do, except those things that we decide we can't do. Here's some verses for you. Psalm 56 and verse number 3, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. So here the psalmist says, there are times that I'm scared. There are times that I'm afraid. And what times I am afraid, I'll trust in thee. That's a pretty good verse. How about Isaiah chapter 26 and verse number 3? Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he's such a great fella. No, because he trusteth in thee. God, the Bible says that the eye of the Lord runs to and fro throughout the whole world, ready to show himself strong on the behalf of them whose heart is perfect before him. And part of having a perfect heart is trusting in him. Read the verse again. It says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. You know, I give you a little preview. Wednesday night we'll be reading a letter from Brother Charlie Lawson. And Brother Charlie says that in all the hecticness of coming back to the States and all the things they faced and the illnesses and the different things that they've run across, he said time that we can pay attention to something, our attention span has been shortened greatly. But he said, I found a way around that. He said, I go to the book of Proverbs, because Proverbs has a whole lot of little messages in it. And he said, I've spent a lot of time in the book of Proverbs. And so if you can't stand to be in the Bible a whole lot at one time to find some little nugget, then go to the book of Proverbs. Read the book of Proverbs. It's designed for people. And the Bible says if we'll trust him, he'll keep us in perfect peace. And then here's a verse that I've seen God use time and time and time again. The first time I saw him use this, I was pastoring in Colorado Springs. The Bible says this, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. And so the Bible says that the devil can't win. He can't win. If you just believe God and remember that perfect love casts out all fear, and just fall in love with Jesus more and more. Understand what he's done for you every day. Go over again what he did for you. Walk up Calvary's road with him. Walk up, see him on the cross and see all the beating and the whipping and the shaming and the embarrassment that he went through for you, for me. Fall in love with Jesus. And the more we love him, the less we'll fear the devil or anything that he throws at us. I believe. Job said, that thing which I feared greatly has come upon me. That might happen. That might happen. But it doesn't have to stay with you. Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. God bless you tonight. Let's pray.